Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy B.I.G. A.N.T. back with another episode of the Can I Kick a Podcast. Today, we got a very special guest. Hashtag home team. You guys already know. It's my boy Zeus coming in, representing Broward County. We're going to be talking about his illustrious rap career, what he's got planned, his latest album, and much, much more. So, if you guys are new, we appreciate you. And if you guys been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. Let's get to the episode. Peace. Going out, everybody. It's your boy B.I.G. A.T. back with another episode of the Can I Kick a Podcast. Got my boy Zeus himself finally stopping by. Say what's up to everybody, big dog.
What's happening, everybody?
So, for those of you who don't know, Zeus was supposed to be here like 2 weeks ago, but the way my schedule has been fucking up lately, it got pushed back a little bit, but we finally took time on this happy Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to everybody that celebrates that. But before happy we get Easter. Started, you guys already know the vibes. Kush Gang, KushGang.com. Use my coupon code KICKIT10. That's KICKIT number 10 to get 10% off your online order. My boy Zay got shirts, hoodies, face masks, backpacks. He's updating some more stuff. Just check him out. Use my coupon code, get 10% off your online order. And yeah, you guys already know. Help the boy Zay out. Help support the podcast. Tell somebody you love them. You guys already know. So, now that we got the politics out the way, welcome to the podcast.
Right.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm low key a late fan now. We're gonna be talking about your album that it's not released yet. It's going to be released, right?
It's not released yet. It comes out on the 16th of this month, so that's April 16th, 2021. King's Culture.
Big
the
bet.
The album's called King Culture.
Big bet. Yeah. Zeus actually sent me a copy of the album, and I've been listening to it actually since the first time. Well, you and Chris both sent it to me, and I downloaded it, and I've been listening to it, and I'm quite impressed, to say the least. I'm quite impressed. So,
okay,
a little tap on the back from my boy Zeus. I'm really liking what you're saying on this album. It's a lot, what's the word I'm looking for, it's very out of the norm, you know what I'm saying, as to okay. What you hear like nowadays, you know, like the new wave is kind of like stuck in its own way, and
right.
Yeah, you're not in that category for me when I listen to the album. And which is a good thing. I mean, I listen to all rap nowadays anyways. It doesn't matter if it's old, new, or, you know, mumble raps or whatever like that. But it definitely right. It definitely hit hard when I listened to it. Like, after my third spin, I was like, yo, this man can spit, bro.
Word. I appreciate it, man. I take pride in my craft. So that actually means a lot.
Big bet.
That means a lot. So thank you.
Big bet. And before we get into the whole podcast, let me give a quick shout out to my boy Martinez. Martinez got jokes. Quick update for y'all. He had his molars removed, so he hasn't been able to do the TRC segment. So I've been poking fun of him not being able to talk on the phone, but he should be back maybe in a week or so. I'm giving him his time to heal up and, you know, do what he's got to do. So hopefully he'll come back soon so we can get the TRC popping again.
Yeah, well, soon to that boy.
Yeah, man. I'm glad he made some videos pre-surgery so he can still continue to drop content, because we wouldn't be able to understand what he's saying right now with his mouth all fucked up out here spitting like Kanye.
Right. Through the wire.
All right, so we'll start. We'll start at a cool comic collected. Just like every artist, me and self, myself included, I like to ask, what got you into the rap game? Like, what got you started rapping?
Well, I really fell in love with music, I would say, when I was around 11, 12, 13 years old. I'll say 11. That's when I was introduced to, that's when G-Unit was popping. Mm-hmm. That's when 50 came out with In the Club, you know, Kanye came out with Through the Wire, and, you know, Slow Jams. That's when Outkast dropped their double disc, the, you know, Speaker Box of Love Below. So, like, Ludacris dropped Chicken and Beer. Like, yo, that's a golden era. Listen to that list. So, yeah. Like, all that music really just... Like, I fell in love with music off of those titles and more. Like, all the music around them was, like, my favorite time because, like, you know, that was the beginning of me just falling in love with music, because growing up, my mother was a devout Christian. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was around music, but it was not secular. It was gospel. It was Christian music and stuff like that. And, like, you know, we ain't had no radio in the crib. So she had a CD player, and then she was just funking up Christian music, and I was just getting them holy melodies. As soon as I got into middle school, I got my own CD player and stuff like that, you know. I think I had got a CD player for Christmas. I bought a few albums, and then that was it. Like, I was just in love. Also, I gotta give Eminem his roses too, because, like, White Boy Can Spit, definitely, and he was honestly like an inspiration to me as well. So
yeah,
2003 was when I was introduced to all this music. And then by 2004, I ain't gonna lie to you. What made me decide I want to do music was a very specific song. Cause I'm an R&B head too. I love R&B. Okay. R&B actually inspired me to do music. Cause the song with Usher and Alicia Keys, My Boo. Mm-hmm. I wanted to sing a cover to that so bad, so I'll be in my room singing that shit over and over again. Yeah, and no lie, before I hit puberty, I was nice. Like, I was, you know.
Before the voice got deep, yeah.
Right, but literally, like, I went to sleep with a pop voice. I woke up with a voice just like how you hear it right now. Literally, it was one day. So once that happened, I couldn't really, my voice wasn't that smooth before.
Yeah.
As before. So I was like, shit, I still want to do music. So I started rapping. So the first beat I wrote to was that Sierra and Ludacris song, Oh. Like, I was fucking with Luda's flow back then. Mm-hmm. Especially on that song. So, like, I was just trying, like, I copied his flow and I wrote some bars to it. And, you know, it wasn't the best, but that's pretty much how it started. And ever since then, like, you know, I decided, you know, I kept finding ways to record. And, you know, burn my shit on CDs. I started hella rap groups. I started my own label when I was like 16.
Okay.
Well, something like a label. Mm-hmm. Whatever I thought was a label back then.
Yeah.
And and you feel me? Like, I've been on it ever since.
Yeah, I think that goes for everybody. Like, whoever started out like making music, like. A lot of us don't get that gift to where we're just born to do it. Like, you know, we start out and it's just like, it's really, really cringy. Cause I remember like some of my, like I actually, my brother, I don't know if he still has it, but he has this big ass hard drive and it has like all of our work. Like when we were 15, 16, 17 years old. And he sent me like a voice clip like sometime like last year of like some of the stuff we did, like over boozy beats and shit. Like, it was some ignorant, ratchet, just not making no sense at all compared to like how we sound now. It's like super, super different. And I was like, bro, what are we talking about? Like, I'm talking about like guns and shit. Like, you know, like I don't even live that life. I'm like, it was just cool to say, you know. And it's crazy how like we go through like a metamorphosis phase and kind of evolve and like actually find ourselves. Because like back in the day, like when I made music, like I was born set like on like, hey, I want to be like Nas. I don't want to make no club music. I want to be transparent. I want to make, you know, storytelling music that people can feel. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not touching nothing else. You won't find me in the club. I'm not shaking my Laffy Taffy. None of that shit. You know what I'm saying? And then as I got older, I kind of evolved into like doing different types of music. You know, my brothers was like, you know, hey, you know, just, man, just go ahead and try to do something different, man. So I was like, you know, okay, fine. And then I slowly evolved into doing like different types of beats and different types of songs. I was doing like hip hop and like pop rap and club music. And next thing you know, I'm talking about, you know, women shaking their ass in the club and I'm popping bottles and shit. So like, it's cool that you can find yourself throughout, you know, the evolution of time, especially when we get put in certain predicaments, when we find out that this is what we want to do, and then eventually finding out that like, this is what we love to do, and then form a passion in our craft. You know what I'm saying? And I, like I said, you know, back to what we said in the intro, like I can hear it like in your voice. You know, like this might be my first time hearing you like sit down thoroughly listening to you, but you got a little catalog. And, you know, I did my research. I saw some other mixtapes and some other albums that you had posted on IG and Facebook.
Okay.
You know, I watch your YouTube. You know what I'm saying? I seen it all, and we're gonna be talking about that in a little bit too. But it shows. You know what I'm saying? It shows that eventually you get to that plateau where you're comfortable with yourself, and then you're just really good at making music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then like, you just bang out tracks every time you get in the studio. Just bang out some shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I know a lot of my friends that can rap. Like they can rap. Like this sounds like 10 times better than the shit you hear on the radio. And they're just in, we're all in that bubble. You know, we're all in that NBA right now, where it's like we're at the level now where we just need to get, you know, we just need to get recognized and put on, and then the rest is a cakewalk, because we've already done it. You know what I'm saying? We found ourselves, we found our tune, we found our purpose, we have our passion, we have our drive. It's just getting put on, and then like the rest is just it's just history. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. The way I look at it now is, it's not even an if for me at this point, it's a when. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. So I just keep doing my due diligence, make sure my business is on point, because that's very important. I'm learning as, like, you know, as I got older, I learned that the business is, you know, the music business is like, you know, as talented as a lot of artists are,
they're dumb.
Of people don't make it. Just exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, especially right now, because like you said, I reached the plateau that I know how to make music. I know it's confirmed that I can rap. I can make a song, like, you know, I can keep a beat. I can perform. So especially right now, I'm so focused on the business. I'm super focused on it, because, like, you know, without business, like, you know, when you become a businessman as well as an artist, I feel like that's when you're ready. That's when you're ready. That yeah. Separates the people that do it for a hobby and the people that's actually, you know, trying to make currency off of this. So that's where I'm at right now.
Big facts. Yeah, that's the thing too. You know, a lot of people nowadays just want to get put on, make a couple of songs, get a little bit of money, and you know, and that's about it. You know, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you don't have to. I mean, shit, if I can make a hit record or two, and my album sells, you know, it goes platinum, and I can leave tomorrow with, you know, 30 million in my bank account, I'm good. I'm good, shawty. Ain't no need for me to come back. You know what I'm saying? But but some people get to that point, like you see them all the time. You know, you got your one hit wonders that'll be around for a year or two, and then they go ghost, and then you don't hear it due to the fact that either, you know, they just, the genre of music they make or what they make is just not in style anymore, or they just simply get played out. And hopefully, and you hope and you pray that you made enough money during your run and saved it rather than blowing it. You know, a lot of rappers like to buy jewelry still and buy cars. You know, I just saw Rich the Kid. I forgot who he was talking to, but he was talking to like a mogul. He was talking to a mogul of some sort, somebody important that knew about stocks and shit like that. And he was like, I guess on IG Live or FaceTiming or something. And the guy said something very, like, very noteworthy, and it stuck to me. And he basically told Rich, he goes, you know, Rich was telling him, hey, you seen the new Corvette? And the guy was like, yeah, I seen it. And he goes, you know how much one of those costs? And he's like, no, how much? And Rich is like, it costs like $70,000 to $75,000. So the guy told him, he goes, if you didn't have the money, would you be looking at the car? Rich goes, no. So he goes, why would you want to buy a car now? And in 10 years, people are going to give a fuck about what you were driving in 2021. And that shit hit me, bro, because you think about all the people that get to that level, that get this money, and they blow a huge amount of it on jewelry, cars, and houses and shit like that. Like, you know, you get the essentials. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you need a new whip, fine. Buy one whip. Right. You know? Rich was on there talking about, right, he got like 8 cars at the crib right now. My dude, why do you need 8 cars? You don't have a big family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't, word, you're not out here like, are you buying cars for everybody? You know what I'm saying? Like, your whole crew's got, you know, you got your chef got a car, your barber got a car, your baby mama got a car, your kids got a car, you can't drive. So it really stuck with me that he said, like, you know what I'm saying, in 10 years, like, if you go buy this 2021 Chevy Corvette right now for $75,000, in 10 years, nobody's going to give a fuck about that car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it hit me. It's like, yo, you know, you got a point. You could take that $75,000 and invest it in something, or buy something that's flip it, or use it to where it's going to benefit you. You know what I'm saying? Because he said it himself. He goes, if you didn't have the money, would you be looking at the car? And Rich was like, no. He's like, so why the fuck do you need it? Why do you want to go buy this car right now? If you already have 6 cars at the crib, like, what? You know what I'm saying? The mentality of some of these rappers that actually make it. And like us, all of us together, you know, I put Chris in there too, like, because we all were inspiring rappers at one time, and you're still doing it. We all want to get to that level. We just really want recognition. We want to be put on the map. We want to let everybody hear our story, and then also make an income on the side. But all of us would die to be in that position, to be able to say, like, oh yeah, let me just go out to the dealership right now and drop 70K because I can on a new Corvette. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that I would, but you know, we want to be put in that predicament. You know, that's why we do it. You know, that's why you rap and you practice and you work on your craft. So
to be in that financial state, it sounds good, but I mean, I feel like that kind of separates the people that's gonna, you know, that's gonna be here for a while and that's gonna be here for a little bit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you know, me personally, I can't speak on, I won't speak on any other rapper, especially somebody that's further than me or anything like that. I won't speak on them negatively, but just observing everything, like, I see the people that last, the people that are considered moguls, like, you feel me? Yes, they got the money to flex, but you feel me? The biggest flex that they do is in their business moves. So, like, especially people like Nip, of course Hov, of course Jay-Z, Drake, like, you know, people that, like, I pay attention to a lot of that too, because, like, you know, I find that I don't believe in completely just copying everything somebody does and doing it the same exact way, but, you know, I take notes, like, you feel me? I feel like that's why Hov was calling his shit the blueprint at one point, because, like, you feel me?
Yeah.
Like, it's just you take notes and you kind of follow the steps, but follow them in your own way, and, like, you know, it worked for them, so, like, you feel me, similar moves could possibly work for you, but you gotta find your niche.
Yeah, big facts. So speaking about rap and being rappers, being from Florida, you know, the rap scene is really, really hard to get out and get noticed. How do you feel about that? Do you think that if you were located somewhere else, do you think that you would have blew up by now, or got a better recognition, or do you just, you're just sticking it out, you know, hashtag home team, like, all the way, no matter what? Like, I know I'm nice.
I mean, so this is how I look at it. I do plan, especially in the years coming, as soon as we get all these restrictions lifted on us, and, like, you know, it's a little, things are more open, which, I mean, it looks like we're open already, honestly. Yeah. But I do plan to travel out more. I believe it's time. That's, at this point in my career, it's time for me to branch out. But, like, you know, Florida is where I'm dying. Like, because, you know, I'm a Florida boy. I'm a Broward County baby. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, even though I haven't been too many places, like, there's no place like home to me. And yes, I mean, the rap game itself is oversaturated. It's hella rappers. Everybody want to do this, but like, you feel me? Everybody ain't built the same. You feel me? So like, oversaturation in the game doesn't scare me anymore. You know, if you're from here, if you're homegrown, like, and you know how it is. So you know, we can relate on this. Like, there's not a lot of helping hands in Florida. Nobody, like, we click up, we got our click, and you feel me?
Yep.
We only care about our click. Like, you feel me? It's not like, okay, yeah, let's get on. And if, like, even if our clique meets another clique and we want to help each other, it's like, it'd be low-key resentment within your own clique and then against the other clique. Like, you feel me? We're salty down here, man.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by water on three sides, man. We Florida niggas, we salty. That's how I describe it.
Hella sharks in the water when you're trying to get on, bro. Trust me. I already know. And it comes down to, like, you know, just... Like I tell a lot of entrepreneurs or artists or people that are doing their own thing, it be your own people. It will be your own people that don't want to see you succeed. So not only were you correct on having a smart business mindset, you also need to have a very good social mindset, especially with people that, you know, you're giving information to, who you carry with you when you're making these moves. A lot of people will do you in. They will do whatever it takes to get their own.
Let me speak on that real quick. For any aspiring rapper that's listening, especially, and this is anywhere, but I can only speak on my personal experience. Watch out for people that say they can do things for you. Like, you know, do your research and your homework on them, because there's so many, like, you know, this is the year of the scammers. Back then, 10, 20 years ago, you feel me, it was cool to be a dope boy and cool to do this and cool that. Now scamming is the way, you feel me, niggas is getting on.
Yeah.
And I'm not hating on anybody's hustle, but, like, you feel me, people will scam you off of your dreams. Cause like, it's happened to me. I'm not gonna go deep on the subject, but like, yeah, people will promise you this, like promise you shows and promise you this and that, and like, you feel me? Not saying that one person that you find can't do it for you, but do your homework on that person. See if they've done it for anybody else, like, you know, and make sure you're investing your money properly, like in anything that you do. Period.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful out here, cause like, music is hot, like, you feel me? It's a hot market. A lot of people want to do it, so where a lot of people are spending money, like, scammers are going to find that and find a way to pimp it.
Yeah so, and that's the thing, dog. Research is key. Me and Martinez talked about it lots of times when we're talking about music or how we were coming up and stuff like that, and he also got scammed out of some shows. And, you know, dealt with some shady people. And same thing with me. You know, a lot of things coincide with what we're trying to do. And even if it comes down to something as simple as studio time or mixing and producing and stuff like that. Like, I could tell you a million stories about how many times somebody knew somebody that I gave some money to and mix and master this, and I never got anything back. Or when I did get it back, it was total shit. You know what I'm saying? It was total fucking shit. You know what I'm saying? And they wouldn't fix it. They wouldn't let me go. They wouldn't let us go back, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of different avenues when it comes to music. And unfortunately, like, the thing is, you can post a million things online, but when it comes down to it, you know, you got to do videos. Videos cost money. You got to do photo shoots. Photo shoots cost money. Radio shows appearances, that costs money. If you get on TV, you know, you got to have a manager, you got to have a A&R, everything, bro. And it all costs money. The thing is, anybody can say they can do something for you. It doesn't mean that they're going to do it. That's the thing. So definitely research is key in everything you do. I don't care if it comes down to buying beats. You know what I'm saying? Research everything. You know what I'm saying? Research. Yeah. And that's another rabbit hole. I know. you gotta be book smart when it comes to music shit. You just don't want to just hop in the studio and record and make 1,000 songs and not know what the fuck is going on, because you're not going to get anywhere. It's a business. Exactly. At the end of the day, you see how these people, used to live and then how they live after the fact. And I want to say maybe 80% of them change, to something totally different. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There is a few in there. You know, you mentioned Jay. Jay's one of them. You know, gives back to the community. a big businessman, started his own, you know, his own clothing line, his own record label, his own digital streaming provider, you know, everything, you know, and that's somebody that is somebody that you can look up to because he's doing it the right way. You know, there's other people that just, you know, get the money and that's it, and they haul ass and they change up, and you know, it's a fucking rabbit hole, you know. But
yeah,
moral of the story here, what me and Suze are trying to say is research is key. Okay, always check off those boxes. Don't leave anything unchecked. Write shit down and make sure you know what the fuck is going on, because it will come back. It will come back to bite you in the ass.
Read everything. If you don't understand what you read, read it again. If you still don't understand it, find somebody who does that you trust.
Yep. Big facts. Speaking of that, people that we trust. Next question I have is, we have a mutual friend in Mr. LA himself, Mr. Christian Martinez. He hates when I call him LA, but he'll be LA till the day I die. I will be in a retirement home, 85 years old, pushing my wheelchair. Our wheelchairs might float by then, and I will still call him LA.
Right.
He's still in my phone as LA, but on the podcast, he's Martinez Got Jokes, for those of you who don't know him personally. He's our mutual friend. Go about tell me how you met or you got in contact with Chris.
It's crazy because, you know, we went to the same school.
Okay.
He was a senior when I was a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I met him back when he had the Jerry curl. like, you know what I mean? So, we didn't really link up because, you know how that is, how that hierarchy is. He was a senior, about to be out of there. I still got 2 years left. So, we really didn't link up until after we both graduated or whatever. And on Facebook, you know, he was on his grind, you know, social media. You remember back in the day, he used to go hard with the music, dropping shit every day. Yeah. And I was on some similar shit. You feel me? I wasn't as polished, but I was on some similar shit, like, you feel me? And that's pretty much how we connected. And then, like, you feel me, when we actually started speaking, like, you know, we clicked. We was homies, you know, we see shit a similar way. We get along well. We respect each other's talent and everything, and that's just how that's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. That's my dog for life.
Yeah, big
shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to my boy Martinez, man. You already know. That's cool, because the same thing with me, if I'm getting old, if my memory recalls, we had mutual friends. And we came across the topic of music, and you know what? If my memory recalls, and I might have to call him later, but my boy Amir was a mutual friend of him, obviously from their prior experiences being in a group together.
Okay.
So it eventually fell through back in the Born Star days. Shout out to BSC. Shout out to John and Nunn. You already know.
And Born Star.
Yeah, so
shout them boys out too.
And we obviously did music together, me and Amir. And then you know, it went through the grapevine. Like, you know, he hit me up or whatever, and was like, hey, you want to do a feature on a mixtape or this and that? And then we kind of grew through that. And we always touched bass together. We always made music. I was featured on like almost all of his mixtapes. And it just became a mutual thing, like, you know what I'm saying, two Latino rappers, you know, just talking about the same shit, you know. And we always clicked, never had a problem with him, dog. He's always looking out, and he's always supportive and shit like that. So he's definitely one of the chosen few that I definitely know that I can stick around. Obviously, if I put him even on my own brand, I put him on the podcast. You know, I've stated multiple times. I don't know if you know, like, he had a little podcast going, and then it kind of fell through. And then
I was part of that.
Oh, you was on there?
Yeah, I didn't know.
I didn't know. Yeah. See, all right. So maybe after this, we'll see. Maybe we can get you on a couple of more TRC episodes when we talk about music and shit. We'll call you in. We'll get a three way going. But that's basically how it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, all bullshit aside, you know, whatever personal preferences happened and it fell through, unfortunately. You know what I'm saying? My condolences.
Yeah.
But
you sure me?
But I knew the kid wanted the podcast, so I'm like, yo, you my dog, you know what I'm saying? If I can get your commitment, and if I can get your word, I will make a segment just for you, so you can come on here every week and still do your podcast.
And isn't he an excellent co-host?
Yeah, yeah.
So every
Tuesday he jumps on with me, man, and we're like almost, I think we're over 30 episodes now apiece. You know, I'm over 80.
That's what's up.
I'm over 80 solo.
Well, almost, congrats to you.
Hey, over congrats 80 to together. Right. Over 80 to you know, him included, but like us together for TRC segment episodes every Tuesday, we're over 30. So I told him, I was like, hey man, you know, slide through, you know, we'll do what we can, and I just want you to podcast. And I said on my boys episode last week, he's getting better. You know, he's evolving, and like I can see him getting into his podcasting thing, like rebuttal questions, being a critic, doing his research, coming correct, asking me questions and shit like that. Mm. But like, it's not just like a phone conversation. It's more like now we're on here just talking. We're just chopping it up, like, you know what I'm saying, like on some real podcast shit. So, you know, shout out. You know what, motherfucker, we're gonna give him a round of applause. Shout out to motherfucking Martinez, got jokes, bro. Fuck it.
There you. Let's go.
But yeah, so let me see what I got next in my handy dandy notes. I wrote a lot of notes.
Okay.
Yeah. Up next, we're gonna talk about YouTube. I was on your YouTube, and
it's pretty clean, ain't it? Ain't much on there no more.
It's all right. The only thing that's on there that matters is the Murder for Hire video, and I fucking enjoyed it. I really, really fucking enjoyed it. I didn't know what I was expecting, because I've heard this song multiple times before I saw the visual. I just saw the visual today when I woke up this morning. I went to your YouTube and I saw it. I was like, oh, this on the album. Let me check this shit out. So I clicked it and I watched it and I was like, This shit is pretty fucking clean. It's pretty fucking clean.
Thank you.
So with that being said, walk me through your whole like recording process for the song, and like where you came up with the video concept, because I think the video concept needs to be talked about, because it's really dope. It's a dope video.
I appreciate that. Okay, so you want the recording process first?
Yeah,
that was those songs. Okay, so like when I'm working on a project, or I'm thinking of working into a project, like you know, I'm a nigga. I can talk a lot of shit about a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So, Murder for Hire and being specific with that specific record, I just kind of wanted to talk my shit one day. I was actually that's probably one of the oldest records on there as far as being recorded. I did it early last year, and I was like on a workout cleanse frenzy, because that was when the pandemic, that's when we got quarantined. So I was like, my mind, body, and spirit was just so in tune. Like, you know, I was fasting, I was eating predominantly green, mm-hmm. I was working out every day, running 3 miles a day. So my head was nice and really clear and not convoluted. Like, I wasn't even super distracted with work or anything like that, because, you know, everything was just kind of slow. So I was just feeling myself, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to talk some shit on this record. So pretty much, like, that's pretty much all that record is me talking my shit. Because, like, you know, sometimes you gotta flex. You have to, like, especially when you accomplish things in life, like, you feel me, if you don't pat yourself on the back and you wait for another motherfucker to do it, keep waiting. Some people give you a rose and some people don't, but you know that I feel like talking your shit sometimes is the best form of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So I really just I stopped writing rhymes, literally. Like, I stopped writing shit down, and you know, some people are against it. Some people fuck with it. I do both, but predominantly I don't write anymore. So I got in front of the mic. I heard the beat, you feel me? I started feeling it. And, you know, I was like, fuck it, I got bars. You feel me? I'm Murder for Hire, man. Hit me up for a feature, whatever. That was the concept behind it. And, mm-hmm. like, you feel me, a king, so address me as sire. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel me, I'm a Leo. A lion's a king of the jungle. I feel like I'm a king, like, you feel me? You're a king too, because there's not nobody on this earth that's not worthy of wearing a crown. worthy of wearing jewelry, worthy of just loving and feeling yourself, feeling that you're special, you're mm-hmm. royalty.
Yeah.
Like, you feel me? A king so dressed Messiah, a Leo swung full of fire, you know, Leo, lion, fire sign. Ain't pussy, la ho, I'm a lion. That's going back to the Leo thing. I ain't pussy. I'm not a pussy cat. I'm a lion. And like, you know, you get the rest. That's pretty much what it came to. I'm talking my shit. And yeah, like, yeah. You know, I mean that. So when it came to the video is actually what kickstarted the whole King's Culture concept project. Because I'm like, you feel me, that King line, anytime I tested the record with anyone, that King part, like, you feel me, people would start locking in when I say the King, so address me as Sire. I personally don't remember anybody saying Sire, like, yeah. Making that correlation in a bar. Mm-hmm. So I took that concept and I just kind of ran with it. You know, I went researching. I was trying to actually find a throne, like, to buy a throne, but that shit's just not in the budget to buy an actual throne. So, like, you feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, business. You got to think big. Got to make wise business decisions. So, yeah. I actually met with the... I found a place that sells it. So, I was trying to see if I could rent mm-hmm. the place. I actually linked up with the owner and we hit it off. We was talking. We had a good talk. So they let me use their spot and everything to shoot the video. Oh, and it was dope. Like, whatever piece of furniture I wanted to use, they charged me like per piece, which, I mean, it was a bag still. It was an investment. But like, you know, the result was dope.
Yeah, it's going to cost you way less than buying it, I'm sure. Because if we're talking about the same throne that I or the same chair that I saw in the video, I already know it probably costs a pretty penny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was up there. I still want it. I might make an investment down the line. That's gonna be my manifestation chair. Like, but yeah, no, on some real shit. So that's pretty much where it was. And like, you know, the video. I'm just flexing a little bit. You see, I'm knighting my homeboys. You feel me? I got two queens with me. Like, you know, just, you know, big boss king shit.
Dope. Yeah, I can get it. I get the picture now. Yeah, I just thought it was a very, very dope, clean video. Like, you know, everybody can make a video. You can make a video on your damn iPhone nowadays. And I was just, like I said, like with your album and everything, I was really surprised of the quality of the content. And I was like, damn, this shit is low key nice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't exit out. I listened to the whole track, I watched the whole video, and I was like, wow, this is really something new. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that you took the extra time and even went out of your way to rent you know, furniture or anything in that matter to do it work. Yeah, just anything to make it work, you know what I'm saying? Because it came out, I really enjoyed it. So that's a dope concept. My next question, you kind of already answered. I was going to ask you about the King's Culture name, and where that came from.
Right.
I'm gonna flip it a little bit, and I'm gonna ask you: do you think? Because I thought, and I looked, and I didn't see anything. But do you have any thoughts and any ideas maybe down the line? Maybe branding off of the name and maybe doing some merch or doing some clothing line of some sort.
Hey, it's already in the works, my boy. It is already in the works.
He's on
Copyright and shit is expensive as hell, though.
Oh yeah, but it is. Yeah, because I'm saving up now to try to copyright everything that I do, like to the name. I got logos. I got some dudes that are making, like, me and Chris, just we put down half and half on the new podcast logo you guys see now. And like, I wanna patent everything.
That shit's dope, by the way.
Yeah, man, check dog. Fiverr, bro. Fiverr. Let me tell you.
Fiverr. let me tell you something real quick. I had to double down. Just give you a quick backstory. On the Murder for Hire video, so I had somebody shoot it. I wasn't super happy with that product I got back from the video nigga. I'm gonna call him that because, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but I wasn't super happy with the project, the finished project. So I adjusted some things myself, first of all. And then I went out to Fiverr to get color grading and some better editing. Mm-hmm. And pretty much I saved the video because it wasn't what I was looking for. So Fiverr were really, gosh, you need a Fiverr sponsor. Because shit,
dog, I'm telling you, bro. Because I got homeboys. I know what I'm saying. I got homeboys that do art and all that stuff. And you know, sometimes, most of the time, they're busy. They can't get to me or whatever. That's cool. I say, hey, man, business before friendships. Go get the money. I'm not worried about Absolutely. It. You feel me? So, yeah. I was just on the computer one weekend, and I'm talking to Chris. I'm like, bro, I want to rebrand. I want to rebrand us. Like, I was making our logos. You know what I'm saying? They were dope. They were nice. They were clean. But I was like, I want something a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want something a little bit different. So I'm on Fiverr. I'm going through, like, mad pages of art designers and everything like that. And I found this dude. And he's in Ireland, dog. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking. And we hit it off cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew exactly what I wanted. And I was like, yeah, I sent him a picture of me. I sent him a picture of Chris. I'm like, yeah, just like, you know, podcasting, whatever comes to mind. You know what I'm saying? I said, but the only thing that I do that I want, like, if you look at the logo next time, if you pay attention, I said, the only thing I want and that I need is not only the fact that I want you to make us, you know, look like us, but the title of the podcast needs to be in a shoelace. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because when I first started making the podcast, all my cover arts and my logos, I made with a certain type of shoe, let it be a retro Jordan or Huaraches or Vans or something like that. Each new season, I would change the shoe for the podcast so that you guys know, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Season one had LeBron's, season two had Kobe's, season three had Jordan's or whatever and so forth. And then I kind of, like, grew out of that after, like, season five, and I just started making, like, abstract, you know what I'm saying, like, abstract logos and stuff like that. But then I just told the man, I said, hey, make us look like us. Make sure the font is in the shoelace. Our favorite colors are black and red, and throw a little gray in there, and we're Gucci. So, and my man got that shit done in 2 days, sent me the rough draft. The only thing that was wrong with it was on the side where it says the podcast was just a little bit light. I mean, a little bit dark. I said, hey, lighten that up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So we can see it.
He gave, you know, you got me looking now.
Yeah, he gave it back to me. He gave it back to me in like 30 minutes. I sent that boy the 55 and we were done, bro. And he was like, hey, let me know whenever you need any more work. I'll put you at the top of the list. You know what I'm saying? Like, your top priority. You know what I'm saying? So I added him on Instagram. I shouted him out. I tagged him in all my shit. I tagged him. I shouted him out in a couple of episodes and everything. But he came through, man. And we just rebranded. But Fiverr, dog. Shit.
Yeah.
Real MVP, bro. Real MVP. Get you right. Yeah, man. It's crazy. But let's see what we got. Let's see what we got up next. I got a lot of questions. Holy shit. Okay, here we go. What are some of your favorite songs from the album personally? I got mine, but I'm saving mine for later in the podcast. But your favorite go to songs from the album, like your favorite.
My favorite songs. I gotta tell you something. Okay, so Murder for Hire, definitely. Highs and the Lows. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite records as well. Some Shake. And the intro, which is King's Culture. Also, also, gosh, man, this is my album. Like, and I personally, that's a trick question, because, you know, I know it's bad. I had to look at my titles. Like, what do I really like? What do I listen to the most? I'm like, damn, I like all this shit. This is crazy. Like, definitely every song means something to me in a different way, because I'm sure you know this, like, even my records that you know I'm probably gonna commercially push, like, I don't just talk shit in my records. Yeah. Like, as far as, like, you feel me, it's always I make sense, I complete thoughts, like, you feel me, it's not just a loose lip talking thing with me. One of my favorite records was definitely Before, Now, it's messed up because late in production of Before, I found out that I couldn't purchase the beat. So I had to get it reproduced, and it's a different vibe. So you're actually, when the album drops on the 16th, you're gonna hear a different version of Before, which it still sounds good. It sounds like more today, to be honest. I made it a little more melodic, but with the test audiences, it passed. So, you know, we're moving forward with that. But definitely Before, Summer Shake, Highs and Lows, and Fenty Boxers, which is I believe the title you got is Toxic Fuck.
So we're gonna skip the next 8 questions. I'm gonna go to my favorite songs of the album, because you basically named my list.
Oh shit.
So I have here obviously M4H, obviously. Then I have Highs and Lows. Then I have King's Culture, and then I have Before. Not saying that the rest aren't good or the album is not great. Obviously I've listened to it more than once, but those are my go-to standout songs that I can remember when I was listening to and making up the questionnaire. So it's kind of crazy and ironic that like the songs that you were naming were actually the same songs that I had liked. I almost put what was that? You had just said it. I can't even fucking remember. There was one on there. Oh, man, see, now I'm gonna have to go look at my damn phone, bro. Damn, what was it?
How'd it go?
Shit, I'm trying to remember. Let me see. Where the hell is my my files at? And I got a new phone and I don't know how to act.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out iPhone 12.
You have this. Oh man, you got it. I'm about to upgrade.
iPhone 12 Pro. Let me correct myself. You feel me? Let me correct myself.
Big bang.
All right, here we go. I got it pulled up. Where is it? The Shake song, Something Shake. Yes.
Yeah, that's actually the lead single. I'm in the process of getting. I think the shoot is gonna be either late this month or early May. We're shooting the video for it, so that's the song I'm pushing right now.
Big facts. See, we got the same taste in music, bro.
Hey, that's what's up.
Oh man, so back to the body of the podcast. Let me see where we left off here. Okay, this one's a little bit personal. Taking a break from the actual music. What does Zeus do when he's not rapping or making moves towards his rap career?
I'm plumbing. I actually own my own plumbing business.
Okay. I work for the city. I'm in the sewer department.
Okay, what city?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Man, listen. Listen. You know we got beef, man.
Nope.
We got beef.
Why we got beef, man? Hey, I just go out there, man, and fix the lines, man. The shit that happens out there, or the higher heads, I should say, they ain't got nothing to do with me, bro. I just go out there and fix the pipe.
Right.
I just go out there,
man,
and fix the pipe, dog.
Sometimes we be calling y'all because we need y'all for a major shut off or whatever, and man, I be sitting on the job for hours. Well, not no more because I work for myself.
Yeah.
And I could walk away, but man, listen.
It be like that sometimes now. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
more.
It depends on
the. It's more power to you guys, though.
Yeah, it depends.
You guys handle the big.
Oh yeah, dude. Like I was texting you, we had an 18 inch, a 16 inch, and then we had to replace a valve on a 16 inch, and then.
Oh my god.
And then before that, a 54 inch broke. But we don't touch those. We get the big boy contractors. Yeah, 54 inch, bro. I can walk through the pipe, dude.
who deals with 54 inch pipes? The army, man.
Hey, bro. Like, as long as it ain't me, motherfucker. Shit.
Right. God damn.
Yeah, it ain't me, bro. But
so wait, those were water main breaks?
No, sewer, bro. Sewer.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. You said you changed a big valve, so I'm like, okay, wait.
No, I think the number is, I think we go up to 24, I think it is. I think we usually do up to 20, it's 22 or 24, somewhere around there. Anything after that, we got to call in the big boys. We just don't have the utilities for that. We don't, you know. But even so, 18-inch, 16-inch are still big pipes, you know what I'm saying? If you can't cut down the pressure, like what it was last week, I was down there, you know, 7 feet down in the hole. I had my waders on, and I was you know, falling over, crawling, and on my knees and shit water, fixing the pipe, man. You know, so
you know how that go.
Yeah, somebody got to do it, bro. So another thing we have in common, shit. At least you make good money out of it, though. That's one thing I'll tell you about that plumbing. And if you own your own business, it's something that will never go away. It will never ever go away. And it's always something new. You know what I'm saying? Like, my wife just got a new job too. And shout out to my wife. She just got put on with an AC company that's privately owned by a multimillionaire. And mutual friends of the people that work there through her dad, so they got her the job or whatever, and she's doing dispatch, and I told her it gets you in the door. I said you don't know where this can go. I was like, the place is booming. It's Florida. It's hot. ACs need fixed all the time. So now she comes always home.
Florida AC is always breaking the summer.
When she first started, she's like, man, they ain't shit to do out here. They ain't shit. This shit is fucking whack. And then now, like every now and then, like, she'll get a busy ass week, and then she'll come home and be like, yo, there was like 20 ACs that broke today. It's like, yeah, yeah, told you,
man. But tell you.
That's dope. That's dope, man. That you have a profession to fall back on like that. Something as big as owning your own business and doing your own thing. So props to you on that too. That's big too. You know what I'm saying? So
Blake Service Plumbing Solutions.
Yeah, tell them. Yes, talk your shit. Hold on, wait. Yeah. Hold on, talk your shit, bro.
Okay.
Get the
company's
promo.
Called Blake's Service Plumbing Solutions. I work 24 hours, so if you hear this and you call me right now, I'll probably answer the phone. Google me. I'm also on Instagram. The Instagram is Seuss, the plumber, underscores in between. So that's Seuss underscore T-H-E. Wait. No, D-A, sorry. Underscore D-A underscore plumber.
big facts. We gonna give some shout outs and I let you talk your shit, and we can remind the people where they can find your plumbing stuff and your music stuff. So don't worry about it wrong now. We'll get it right at the end.
All right.
Branching off of that, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
In 5 years, man, I'm looking to be towards being a multi-millionaire. Like, honestly, by the end of this year, like, you know, I plan to change my tax bracket, which I'm already close to doing so. So I'm not going to let go of the plumbing business. I'm probably going to have it ran remotely to continually generate currency. I'm actually planning, definitely my label will be off the ground by then. And I'm going to have an independent label. And my one focus is to empower artists. I'm looking to have, like, I'm looking to teach artists. That's going to be a part of the contract. And I want to give everybody their masters after a certain amount of time. They don't have to buy it back. That's what I'm looking forward to do. So after I get myself on in the next couple years and I'm where I want to be, and I will be there, that's what I'm looking forward next. So I'm trying to empower the people. I'm trying to empower people, period, because I feel like that's part of my purpose in life.
Facts. I can do that.
Definitely, I'm gonna become financially free myself first. So definitely in the next 5 years, I already see that. So definitely the label, probably more business in trades. I'm probably going to invest in more trade businesses because, like, you know, the world is always going to need to be built and rebuilt and rebuilt. So definitely in maybe play around with the stock market, cryptocurrency, things like that. But definitely definitely I'm gonna be a busy man. Definitely.
Facts. Smart man, smart businessman. Up next, we're gonna go back to music just a little bit. If you make it big, or should I say when you make it big, or when you get
right,
on,
when.
Give me some collabs you would want to do.
Oh, man. You know, if you would have asked me that question 5 years ago, I would have had a gang of artists to tell you. Yeah. Now, I'm going to be honest with you now. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I look like... right now, the person I'm really looking up to, and I mean, some people will get it, some people won't. I'm really looking up to Drake because, like, you know, watching where the man came from, and like, you can say what you want about the ghostwriting and everything, but that man's business and the moves and his team, everything was done with godly precision to get to where you are. Because, like, this, you know, this shit is hard. You rap before, you've done this before, so you know. This shit is hard. You got to persevere through a lot. And it's just a lot of bullshit. Like, you feel me? So, like, when you get your team right, like, when you get all that together, like, yeah, that's so definitely, I would love to get a Drake record. Ross, definitely, just because, you know, I'm Florida nigga.
Yeah.
Cole kind of still, yeah.
What you mean kind of still? Come on, man. That's cool, baby.
You know, I'm just, mind you, like, it's going to sound crazy, but I could live without a feature from anyone at this point. Like, you know, I'm looking towards building the younger generation up now. Like, but definitely Cole. I don't know why I said kind of still. Shout out Cole. Kendrick. A lot of different R&B singers too. Wow, I haven't asked myself this question in a while. I want an Alicia Keys record.
Ooh.
I want a Bruno Mars record.
Ooh. Yeah.
Let me see. This is just kind of some toxic shit, but I want to make the Stallion record. You feel me?
Okay.
I definitely do. You know, it's just it nowadays, like when I was legit, I would have had a lot more quick top answers for you like that. But now, like, I wanna meet these people and feel their energy, and that's when I could know, like, okay, yeah, I want a record now. Cause, like, you know, I respect everybody's craft, like, you feel me? Like I said before, this shit is not easy. Yeah. But, like, I kind of want to feel the artist's energy first. Because, like, you feel me? Like, you see it time and time again. Like, a lot of artists mention, like, you know, how your idols become your rivals. Or when Drake said, like, you know, meeting your idol, meeting your favorite rapper, whatever the case is, like, seeing how magic works.
Yep.
You feel me?
Yep.
Like, so I definitely want to feel these people's energy before I, like, you know, I want to lay wax with them. Because honestly, like, you know, it's I want to make money, but at the same time, like, it's not about that for me. Like, you know, I have a passion for this. I've been doing this since I was 12, and, like, you know, I believe in the art, I believe in the culture. So, like, you feel me? If my energy clicks with somebody, like, hell yeah, I want to do a record with them. So that's my real answer. Because, like, you feel me, I might fuck around and meet Drake. And, like, you feel me, I don't like the nigga. Shout out Drake. But, like, you feel me?
Yeah.
Or whatever the case is, like, you know, you might not click. And, like, you know how that is. Like, you feel me? When you just don't fuck with nobody, you don't want to do no record with them. Like, you know, just, like, I'd pass. So that's pretty much my answer. Like, you know, all those names. But at the same time, you know, I want to meet them. I ain't trying to. Like, you know, sometimes, or at least have a conversation with them, because, you know, sometimes you can't you do you'll send a record to somebody that you never physically seen before. Mm-hmm. That's how it was with me and Martinez.
Yeah.
I seen him before, but I hadn't physically seen him in a while, and like we sent records back and forth. So like I need to have a conversation with a motherfucker before I just, you know, share my art with them.
Big facts. Yeah, I mean, you named a bunch of killer artists. That's pretty dope too, because I was in the same boat too. Like my top five is like always the same. Like if I was to, you know, like I don't rap anymore, but I could still rap, you know, if I wanted to jump in the booth somewhere with one of my boys or whatever. And right. my top was basically damn near the same, like, because he was still doing it. I don't know if he's gonna do it anymore after King's Disease, but it was gonna be Nas, it's gonna be Drake, sure. Cole, Bruno Mars, Chris Brown, Kanye West.
Oh yeah, I forgot
to. Yeah, Kanye West, and no bullshit, I wanted to do a song with Trick Daddy. Still to this day, I still want to do a song with Trick Daddy, just for the culture, just for the culture. But
Trick ain't hard to find.
Nah, I got his own restaurant and shit. He's out there all the time. My boys are always taking pictures with him and shit. So, but it always remained the same. And then I'm kind of the same way too, because you know, especially like being rappers, like you mentioned earlier. Everybody wants to rap, and everybody knows somebody that knows how to rap, and you always come in contact with people that are quote unquote rappers in the studio or through a friend or mutual friend, or just happens to be around those people that you know, and you know, say, oh, I can rap too, you know, duh, we should do a track together, da 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 da. So because there's certain stories, I won't get into too deep, but there's certain stories I ran into people where they're like, you know, oh, we should make a song together. I'm like, okay, cool. Send me some of your music. Let me see what you're working with. I hear a little bit of the music. I'm like, okay, it's pretty dope or whatever. And then when I meet them, their vibe is a little bit different than what I expected. Mm-hmm. You know, especially like when you get put in a setting, as far as like a studio, you guys that don't know and never been to a studio, it's a very different atmosphere, especially when you have the mindset of doing your business as far as recording and getting stuff done. Obviously, if you pay for blocks, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Time is money when you're in there, or even if you're just doing it at your house or your homeboy's crib or some shit like that. Nobody wants to spend 12 hours on one song. So a lot of people get distracted. A lot of people like to smoke. A lot of people like to drink. A lot of people like to call hoes over. I mean, women.
Right.
And a lot of things can, you know, take a little bit longer than expected. So I could definitely see eye to eye when you talk about people's you know, attitude and vibes when it comes to when it comes to work, especially with like music and stuff like that, because you guys would be amazed how different people act when they get in the studio. Some people think it's all like what you see on social media, where people are just smoking blunts and got half naked women around and they're vibing and they're drinking. I mean, it's part of it if that's your thing, but at the end of the day, we're all here to do business.
Hey, we trying to work.
If we can knock out, you know, 5 songs in 2 hours, I'm Gucci. I'm not trying to spend, you know, $100 on two blocks of 2 hours, and we only walk out with like 1 or 2 songs. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not about that life. And that's the reason why I got my own studio. You know what I'm saying? Like I had built my own studio when I was a kid. Got my own music stuff, my own interface. I taught myself the whole nine because I was tired of wasting money. You know what I'm saying?
Even though
I had to connect, I had people that knew people, and I recorded at, you know, pretty big studios, and nothing like Hit Factor or nothing like that. But you know, you ever been to Dirty Mike's before?
Nah, I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. I started self-recording, and then I got out because, like, you feel me, my mixing capability wasn't as good as others.
Yeah.
So as I grew, like, you know, I was out there, but I never been to that particular studio.
Yeah, look him up. My boy runs it, and this is another funny story. Like, it's all about who you know and mutual friends and shit like that. I went to school with his brother, and when I met him, I was like, bro, you look familiar. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you look familiar. Like, I'm trying to put together where the hell I seen you from. And right. He's like, yo, my name is Steven Caputo. I'm like, dog, I know that last name. You got a brother? And he was like, yeah, I got a younger brother. And he showed me a picture of him. I'm like, bro, I went to school with him, bro. Like, I know that's my dog, bro. That's, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, TLDR, you know what I'm saying? We chopped it up through there. And then, you know, we got to talking and doing work with my brothers and my cousin over there at his studio. And he's still running it now. He's been doing stuff with MMG. He's been doing stuff with Gunplay. He's been doing stuff with a lot of big people and everything like that. So, shout out to my boy Steve. Shout out to Dirty Mikes.
Hey, send me that link.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you all his information later. I'll message to you. He's a real cool dude, man. Real cool dude. It's right if it's in the same location. I think it's off 441, right before the bridge, next to the subway. He's got his own little warehouse that he rents out, and he decked out the whole warehouse. So when you go in, it's like the main studio. And then he's got the glass in the door, and then behind it is the whole, like, the recording room. Like, it's got live instruments, it's got band instruments, it's got mics. Okay. It's fucking legit. Yeah, it's fucking legit.
Sounds nice.
And he mixes and masters beautifully. Like, it's real clean shit. So, but I'll link you. I got you.
Bro. Definitely.
I got you, bro. Now this next question is kind of for the memes, but I told Chris I was gonna ask anyways because we did talk about you behind your back, but in a good way.
Oh man.
Yeah, I said what I'm about to ask you, I said, you sound real Ace Hoodish in some of your songs. was he an inspiration of any kind, or do you rock
definitely
with him like that?
Yeah, shout out to Ace Hood.
Because the Murder for Hire is real Ace Hood as fuck. Like, I thought I was listening to Ace Hood, you know, at one point. I'm like, yo, this
crazy.
I'm like, this dude sounds like Ace. And then I brought it up to Chris, and Chris said the same shit. He's like, bro, like, some of his songs, he sounds like Ace Hood, which is a great thing, because we just did maybe two weeks ago, we did a spotlight on Ace anyways, me and Chris, and you know, we talked about how much of an influence he was to us, being a rapper from Florida, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
Was he any kind of inspiration, or is your flow just basically originated, like, bar none from you yourself?
Probably. I can't say. I actually haven't heard a lot of Ace Hood's newer music. I know he's still going. I know he's full independent. So shout out to that brother, because that man is going off. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of his own team, but. Nah, like, yeah, when I was younger, like, yeah, he inspired me because, you know, just coming from the same county I'm coming from and, you know, doing what he did and, like, you know, the moves he made and everything, like, you know, his story, like, definitely when I was younger. But as of right now, I haven't listened to him in so long. Like, that's crazy to me that you say that. Like, wow, I got to check it out now.
Yeah, he, in 2021, I think it was. Might have been 2019, maybe maybe early 2020. He came out with an album, Mr. Hood, and it's really good. Surprisingly, it's really really good. There's a couple of songs on there that actually made some of our.
I'm gonna
list.
Check it out. I was always a super fan of like Starvation, like Mixtape Ace was like the shit. Like, you feel me?
Oh yeah.
The albums were the albums. Like, you know. We ain't gonna get into that, but you know, like Starvation and shit like that, you know, the thing that labels the things that labels aren't standing over telling you what to do and whatnot, like, yeah. Like, Starvation was like one of my favorite mixtapes at the time when it came out. I think it was three, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. So definitely, yeah, Ace, shout out to Ace again. Like, that nigga was an inspiration to me.
Yeah, big facts.
I'm gonna check out that album that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. Yeah, I know he has. We talked about it on the podcast too. He doesn't have the best track record with albums, you know, industry wise. But as far as like mixtapes, Starvation and Body Bag Series, it's just phenomenal. Whew. It's just
right.
We talked about it. If you guys haven't listened to that episode, go back and check out the Artist Spotlight with me and Chris did on Ace. We talked about a lot of shit, and I made some good pointers when it comes to Ace, you know, with his career and you know, his sound and delivery and like his work ethics and like who he surrounded with when he blew up to compared to who he's surrounded with now.
Right.
We touched on a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff. It's a dope
episode. Low key, Ace Hood started a flow that was prominent for like 3 years. Like right before the Migos brought back the Trifest, like the Ace Hood came with that that flow.
Yeah.
And then you feel me? Shit, even I adopted that flow for a little bit. Like, you feel me? That shit was running crazy. That hustle hard flow. Yeah, definitely. So,
yeah, you feel me?
I give Ace Hood his roses, cuz.
Yeah, he definitely made an impact as far as Florida music, like down south music, man. Like, and it's cool because the South is not known for lyricists, you know?
Right.
And Ace can deliver that. Ace is one hell of a storyteller, but he's got bars. He's got when he needs to spit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, Hockaloogie spit. He can definitely handle his own. But he's definitely one of the most underrated, transparent storytellers from the South. You know, and still to this day, he just doesn't get that much respect. You know, a lot of people talk about Southern rappers. You know, they bring up we talked about it too in the podcast. I hate to sound like a broken record, but we talked about the people that they always bring up. You know, you bring up the Ross, you bring up the T.I., you bring up the Ludacris, but nobody brings up Ace. You know, so even you could throw even Plies in there, you know, and
definitely,
you know, and he's just disgusting. He, like, if you go back and listen to his stuff, it's just like, bro, like, this man should have stayed blown up. You know what I'm saying? Like, stayed blown up. But then he dropped something like Mr. Hood. And he still has it. That's the thing. When you go back, if you go back and listen to it later today, start at the bottom. There's a song called Popovich. Start at the bottom, and then go back to the top. It is one of the best songs on that album. Beat wise, delivery, bars. It's just one of those cocky ass records, and it sounds like old Ace, body bag Ace. You know what I'm saying? On an album, which is crazy. Like I said, he doesn't have the greatest track record with his albums, obviously, because like half of them are just not. They don't hit as hard as the mixtapes,
right?
And
the singles went hard.
Yeah,
the singles definitely went hard. But
oh yeah, you know. yeah. Like we said, what'd you say? The Hustle Hard. The other song he did with Future. What was that?
Bugatti.
Yeah, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? That shit put him on the map. They literally put him on the map. You know?
Definitely.
And not saying that the whole album or albums are bad, because they're Blood, Sweat, and Tears is kind of still my jam. But
yeah. They didn't connect as well.
Yeah, they didn't hit hard like his mixtapes. You know what I'm saying? But again, shout out to Ace, bro. You already know, man. Hashtag home team. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay, save the best question for last before we head out. And but that being said, in your IG, you claim to be the best rapper in Broward County. Oh. How did you get that title?
So check me out. Especially when I was younger, I'm a little braggadocious.
Yeah.
So honestly, that was my earliest form of cloud chasing, which I do believe, you know, I'm the best rapper in Broward, or one of the best rappers in Broward. Not really trying to compete with nobody at this point in my life, even though like rap is a competitive sport. But like, especially that's just a nickname I kind of gave myself. Mm-hmm. And it got people talking, because it was one point that I was willing to go against anybody. Cause you feel me, I just felt like I had it. Mm. I felt like I was that, and I could talk. Like, you feel me, there wasn't nothing in a song that I couldn't say, and I, like, you feel me, there wasn't a thought that I couldn't lay on paper and make it nice. So I gave that nickname to myself, and like, especially in 2011, I remember when I did it in 2011 when I said that.
Yeah.
This was before Instagram. I changed my Facebook name to that. everybody, air rapper in Broward, they in Palm Beach added me. Like, you feel me? Mm-hmm. People was hitting me up like, yeah, you know, let's start a beef or whatever. Like, you feel me? It was like, it was crazy. So, like, really, it's not, it's just, you know, it's paying homage to my past when I put that on my Instagram. And it's crazy that you brought that up, because I just changed that to put the brand of King Culture. I literally just changed that. But the way you brought it up, I'm about to bring it back. it's still getting their attention.
I mean, when we first touched base together and we talked and you gave me your credentials and stuff and I pulled you up on IG and shit, that's the first thing I saw. You know, you look at the bio, it's the first best rapping, bro. Damn. Okay. Right. That holds a lot of weight, you know what I'm saying? Like, it gets you asking some questions.
It definitely does. It definitely does.
Big facts. It definitely big facts. Does. Well, my brother, we have reached the end of the podcast. So you guys know what we do at the end of the podcast. I gotta hit you guys with the respect button before we head out.
not the Grove Street.
Yeah, the Grove Street, baby. You guys already know. So my man Zeus from Broward County, I wanna give you a big shout out for being a part of the podcast. I'm glad that I got you on here. I'm glad you come tell people your story, talk some shit. And
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. No problem, man. So before we get to your credentials, let me just give my shout outs real quick. Knock them out again. You guys already know Kush Gang, KushGang.com. Kick it 10. Use my coupon code, get 10% off your online order. Shout out to my boy Martinez, got jokes. You guys already know his mouth is fucking him up, but hopefully he gets better real soon so he can come back on here and talk some shit. And again, if you're new here, we appreciate you. And if you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. And my boy Zeus, tell everybody where they can find you at, where they can look you up, where they can watch you, listen to you, and of course, get their motherfucking pipes fixed.
Okay. So I'm gonna start with the music. I'm Zeus, and if you want to follow me on Instagram, that's my predominant social media. So it's _ Jesus. That's _ HEYSUESS. You can follow me on Instagram. I post a lot of motivational things. You can definitely keep up with me. There's links to all my music and my website, all in that. I have an album coming out April 16th. It's called King's Culture. It's dope as fuck. I have it. If you wanna get an early listen at it, I have it for sale. Link in my bio on the Instagram. That sale also gets you 2 concert tickets to my upcoming concert in May. You can find, yes. And it also gets you a piece of merch. So it's a whole package deal. You get the album early, you get 2 concert tickets, and you get a piece of merchandise. We'll fill that order as soon as you pull up to the show. I also have a plumbing business. It's called Blake's Service Plumbing Solutions. You could Google me, you'll find my number. Call me up for anything. I'm a full service company. So anything that goes wrong within your house, condo, apartment, it doesn't matter. I can come fix it. Did I miss anything? King's Culture.
All right, brother. It's been a hell of an episode. Let me check the clock. You gave me 1 hour and 18 minutes of pure,
yes, sir,
beautiful home team, hashtag home team content. Again, I want to thank you. And I want to thank everybody. If you made it this far in the podcast, We definitely appreciate you guys. So until next time,
we're gonna bring
Zeus back real soon, maybe in a month or so. Let the album drop, you know, let it marinate, and we'll get him back on here, and we'll catch up, and we'll see what's been going on with Zeus and the outcome of the album's release and et cetera, et cetera. And obviously he just announced to me and announced to y'all that he's actually having a show / concert. So we'll definitely be able to chop it up and see the reception of the people. So again, Zeus, I appreciate you stopping by the podcast, man. We'll get you back on here real soon, man.
No pressure. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm honored, sir.
No problem, man. We out this bitch. Peace.
Yeet.